Good morning. We are few, but the Spirit is with us, and we're glad that we gather here in worship. I know others who are probably celebrating Mother's Day elsewhere, and we reach out to them in thought and prayer, and we hope that they are aware of the Zoom service, and we hope others will be watching us via our live stream. As you drove up, I don't know if any of you are like me. I kind of do a survey of the property, kind of glance around and just see how things are as I drive in. And there are holes dug in our lawn. It's an incredible thing. There's, especially along the sidewalks and some of the corners, there are these holes that have been dug out there. I'm a little worried about them. I was worried it might be moles, but I think it's actually Rich Sneer. He is repairing sprinklers, and so he has dug up different places and what have you. I saw him walk in. I was going to tease him with that, but now I've lost him. So at any rate, give him a pat on the back as he is preparing sprinklers as we are in that season of watering, and we're beginning. By way of announcements, anything that we need to lift to share together? The back page, Pi, are we pretty accurate on things coming up?
Yes, I think we are. And then the conference is going to have a fundraiser for Encore for Tonga Relief on the 20th here at Burns. I am told that there's going to be dinner and then all the Tongan stuff that goes along with that concert.
All right. So the 20th, Tongan benefit for UMCOR for Tongan Relief. All right. Rich Sneer just walking in again, so I just told them you're a wild weasel digging in the lawns, Richard. Others, any other announcements? We are continuing to vary how we are present during the week, which days, but Paya's office shifts her hours sometimes, and I do mine, but God bless Diana for filling in. As we have one slot that is a volunteer, and so Diana does that work and does it well, and we're grateful. Anything else by way of announcements as we are gathering and preparing? If not, let's stand and greet one another and jump into our call to worship.
Okay, if you would please get ready for the call to worship. Brothers and sisters, mothers and children, let us gather in worship. Today we celebrate all women who labor to raise loving, God-fearing children. We celebrate mothers, grandmothers, wives, and sisters. We celebrate our moms and those who have provided the loving nurture in many capacities. Many women touch our lives. Lord God, thanks for those who have accepted the nurturing role and who have made such a difference in the world. Please remain standing for the hymn.
If you need the hymnal, it's page 140.
Thank you.
may be seated.
The first reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed all in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
By way of concerns, there are those printed on the back of the bulletin. I want to make you aware of those and remind you. I was hoping to see Earl Pierce in worship. Marianne said he is recuperating rapidly, and she said, "I think he needs to take it slow," but she said, "He is in a hurry." So we know that about Earl. I have no update on Roger Casper. He was in the hospital with flu and pneumonia, but his son Alvino said he was doing well, and they had, you know, positive outlook on that. Joe Burns, any word on your brother Bob? Good. Let me give you the microphone here, sir. Well, he gave us a thumbs up. Is that all we need to really share? Okay, so good news there, and we celebrate him recovering from heart struggles. If you have any exposure to media, you cannot have missed issues in war in Ukraine and Russia. We continue to lift those people and lift in prayer and lift with all our hearts broken that such atrocities are occurring. War is evil, and we can only pray. We can only pray. And especially as was lifted last week, we offer prayers of thanks and to all of the nations and all of the peoples who are helping with refugees and with assistance in all the ways they can. Do you have other concerns that you would lift this morning, special prayers that you need to place before the body as we gather? I don't see any. That's probably good news for this bunch. What about celebrations? Do we have birthdays or anniversaries? I have a list here, and I'll jump right into those unless you have some that you want to lift before I get to that. Monday, Clarence Kuzma has a birthday, and Friday, Becky Ross has a birthday. That's on the 13th. Next week, Alina Relford has a birthday. Richard and Susan Schneer have an anniversary. Is that true, Richard? A week from today, yeah, a week from today. But you remembered and you're prepared? You guess. Okay, just wanted to make sure that you're all set to go there. So we left those, just giving you kind of a heads up as we proceed. Celebrations of just, as I said, Richard digging in the lawn, digging up sprinklers and wandering around muddy and kind of mumbling under his breath. But we are returning to that beautiful summertime and watering season and all of those. And the greenery crew, Helen and Diana and all of those who have been helping to green and clean and de-weed and carry on. So we lift you and give thanks. Other celebrations, special things we want to lift. All right. If there are no others, let's turn to our unison prayer. You find it. Let us read it responsively. Lord God, who created the garden and made humans to tend that precious creation, hear our prayers. Come by here, Lord. We come before you, confessing that we have prioritized our own needs. Guide us and inspire us to be aware of how you would lead us in ways of righteousness. Come by here, Lord. Instruct us as well as care of the garden that is your creation. Come by here, Lord, in your way to understand righteousness as care of our brothers and sisters. Come by here, Lord. As we pray to follow more closely, we offer our prayers for those who are hurting amid celebrations. Lord, prosper us with your divine wisdom. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silence. Loving Lord God, thank you for gathering with us this morning, for gathering with those of us gathered here present, gathering with those of us who are gathering virtually, gathering with those who will share this worship service at a later date. We all come in worship. We all come to place the Lord first in our lives and to begin our week centered on the Almighty One. This day and this Sunday, we celebrate mothers, Lord, and we are grateful. We are grateful in ways beyond imagination as we pause to remember mothers and grandmothers, aunts, and all the women who have been vital and essential in our lives, raising us, nurturing us, challenging us, inspiring us, and sometimes quietly just loving us. We celebrate all women who fulfill those roles, whether they are birth mothers or adopted mothers or teachers or instructors or friends, teachers, all those who take on that role of nurture and love and accountability and peace. Lord, we give thanks for mothers. We give thanks for families. We celebrate those who have passed on. They are at rest in your arms, and we're grateful. But we celebrate those in the midst as well, doing the will and the work of Jesus Christ. We celebrate this morning in prayer, as we gather our voices in prayer, in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For our offering, I will simply offer up to you our thanks for your continued support of the church. We are, as I understand it now, financially balanced budget, and we're probably doing fiscally fairly well. Holly, I don't have a full set of notes on where we are for our financial report, but we have been doing fairly well. We're She was gone, but I'm sure things are still stable and still doing well. But thank you. Thank you for your continued support. We turn to our gospel lesson, the Gospel of John, and as we are preparing to hear the gospel, ask you stand in honor of it, if you are comfortable doing so.
The gospel scripture is in the Pew Bible, New Testament, page 98, if you want to read it. But it's the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The hymn is in the small hymnal if you need that. Gather us in.
You may be seated. Scripture, the New Testament scripture, the sheep and the shepherd. Interesting choice, and that was the lectionary. I don't know that I would have turned away from it given the conjunction with Mother's Day, but shepherding, we don't really think about it as much in modern terminology, but women were shepherdesses too. We don't hear about that. We don't hear about the women doing the shepherding. we'll hear about children sometime and young people, but women weren't mentioned. We know that. Women were kind of just not noticed in that time and that age, but women would have been doing those jobs as well, and it would be a shock for mothers to hear that there is a day dedicated to mothers. It would be a shock for women of that age to realize how important women are in our society and how much a part of us. They're preachers and teachers and bishops and vice presidents and all of the equality that comes with that and all of the change of society that comes with including women. But here we have the image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And that image is an important one. We've reflected on that some in a set of parables where we reflected on how if one of us is lost, 100 of us gathered, 100 of us faithful, but one lost, Jesus will go and find that lost one. When we are lost, the Good Shepherd will come and find us. The Good Shepherd knows us and will return us. We know his voice. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. We need to hear that and understand that and reflect and celebrate on being members of God's flock. I don't know if there's a plural for flock. I guess flock is the plural, but wouldn't we like to become flockites or flockies? I guess it's probably not going to catch on, but there it says for you. I loved John's revelation. The revelation of John was almost not included in the Bible. The scholars, when they were addressing sacred texts, said the majority of people will misunderstand this text. They'll see it as a roadmap, as a secret clue system for deciphering heaven and the future, and that's not what it is. It's apocalyptic literature, it's symbolic literature, but it was included because of the vibrant imagery, and that's true here as well as we hear this imagery. The metaphor has changed. John doesn't call them sheep, he calls them the great multitude is gathered. Who are they? His host asks him. He sees the great multitude. Who are they? He's questioned. Have you ever been hit with a pop quiz, especially an oral one, and the teacher pops out a question and you're just blind in the headlights? No idea what. That's happened a few times and I still have nightmares in remembrance. Don't we all? I love John's response. Well, sir, you know. You who are these that are robed in white and where have they come from? Sir, you are the one that knows. And he turns the question around. I don't have a clue is what he's really reflecting, but it's an important point to reflect on how he's turned that around. But he turns it back to his speaker. These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It's a startling imagery, and the imagery of blood and washing and cleansing is one that isn't quite as popular today. But that cleansing is an important part. And what is even more important is that there is a great multitude. There was a great multitude that no one could count. That's quite a few. How many? That's a lot. Hooray, it's an unaccountable number. The number that are a part of this flock with us, these brothers and sisters in the midst of the journey. Sometimes don't we feel alone? And in our modern culture, the system seems to be pushing us to be more and more individualized. Every person you see, you can figure out something that you're going to disagree about with every one of them. And people are capitalizing on that. And people are pushing us and shoving us. And the younger generation, we were commenting in our gathering before church where none of us would like to be teenagers today. None of us would like to be teenagers. We remember those days, and we remember, actually, with rose-tinted glasses, I'm afraid, because we all had our issues and struggles and things, but today there are so many other issues and so many other things, and so much peer pressure and phones and TikToking and photos and likes, and I would not want to be a teenager today. But we can pause and we can gather with others that we have like mind. Others for whom we are together. We are the multitude, the great multitude gathered together, an unaccountable number. We are not alone. What's interesting too, it continues. They are from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. That's quite a few, and that helps us pause and reflect on one of the places where we tend to fall down. We image everything from our North American perspective. We were in the grocery store, Melissa and I. Somehow we keep doing that. You know, I don't know, it's a routine or something. We just can't get out of the habit of going to the store. That was a joke. Yeah, it wasn't a very good joke, was it? Never mind. Woman is coming down the cart toward us. She had a cart, and she had one in the seat in the cart, a smallish one. Another one walking beside, and they're shopping. And I love listening to different languages, and so I'm listening to her talking to her kids. And I thought, all right, it's not Spanish. I know enough Spanish that it's not Spanish. And it wasn't Tongan. I'm getting used to hearing Paya, and Paya and Siociana were in the office this week, and they were off on Tongan business. I don't know what was going on, but I can hear Tongan and Pacific Islander. By the way, it's Pacific Islander month, so make sure and hug a Tongan. And, you know, continue to celebrate that. But it wasn't Tongan. It wasn't Spanish. It didn't sound Russian. It wasn't Japanese. I've heard a little bit of Japanese. And in fact, my dad used to speak some Japanese, especially when he was mad and didn't want us kids to hear what he was thinking. And I couldn't recognize the language, and I looked at them, and I thought, they don't ethnically look any different, but I just had to grin to myself. This is part of that great multitude. This is part of that wide swath of humanity that are brothers and sisters together. From every nation, from all tribes and people and languages. Amen. Diversity is a good thing. God created that diversity, and we can celebrate it. But here John is looking at these. That they are the ones who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They have lived on this earth. You remember way back, there was the couple, this young couple, Adam and what was his wife's name? Eve, yes, that's what it was. And they got kicked out of the garden. Well, we're still kicked out. We aren't back in there. And so life is not a rose garden, although I've always hated that metaphor. But life is full of sunshine and rain, heat and cold, fire and ice, politics. Oh, Lord, don't get started there. Cliques, religious denominations, divisions. It's easy to find the differences. And besides all else, there is war and sometimes peace. But this is the world that we're in the midst of, and that great ordeal is what we're in. All of us are in the midst of and enduring that. It's our journey. And some of us might grouse around a little bit, but we need to reflect that it was Jesus' journey as well. Jesus had to make a difficult journey, even a more difficult journey than us. And he made that walk, and he showed us that it is possible. Have you noticed that life is filled with temptations? I don't know if they're becoming fewer or I'm just becoming more sedentary and isolated, but they aren't quite as bad as they used to be when I was younger. But they're still there, and they're still waiting for me when I am not paying attention. I might be a little bit forearmed by knowing how I am tempted Do you know what tempts you? Dad and I had a conversation about this decades ago. My dad, he's a saint, and he raised me to, and he taught me integrity. And we were discussing that, and I thought, I don't know if my dad has any temptations at all. I just couldn't ever perceive them. But he said, money. He says, I grew up in a time when we didn't have any money or anything. And he said, and then I remembered those times that we'd be driving in the car and there'd be a gas station and we'd be short on fuel, but he'd say, well, let's go on. The next station is 2 cents cheaper. And we'd all sweat and hold our breath, hoping that we made it to the next gas station. He was tempted by money and the ease that it gives, and he recognized that. What are our temptations and how have we handled those? Not only that, but what are our biases? Our temptation to be in charge, to judge, to become the ones that... I live near a school, and along one side of my property there's a set of signs that say, no parking anytime. And when school's getting out, that's full of cars parked there waiting for kids. And the school buses come, and every day the school buses have to honk to get people to get in their cars and close their doors so that they can drive the school buses down the road there. And a part of me wants to get out there and start handing out traffic tickets. Doggone it, they're not supposed to be parking here, and I pause and remember who I am and who I'm not, and look at these young parents that are just taking care of their kids. I refer to the Reverend Daniel Moore, an Episcopal rector that I read. I want to read a quote from him. Recall to mind all the ways that human beings have sought the blood of our neighbors. The history of calling for blood and turning others into scapegoats. The well of this history is so deep that we cannot even begin to plumb its depths. The countless throngs of people in John's vision suffered because of their neighbors demanding it. Because their neighbors had called for blood. And the reason that these people are holy is because they did not call for it back. They knew that life offered by the blood of Jesus will never be found in the blood of another person. They knew that the only blood of Jesus will wash us clean and make us able to love our neighbors so that we can be holy, so that we can be human. Who are these? They are the ones who have washed their cloaks in the blood of the Lamb. So our journey in Christ is to do the same. None of us is perfect, and none of us is going to escape. Sometimes those temptations will sneak up and get us. Sometimes other things will happen, and we will judge or demean others. But sometimes we'll remember and follow and atone through Jesus, and have our robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. So today is Mother's Day, and we celebrate all of those mothers, and especially those who have taught us all those important lessons about compassion and patience and loving and care and acceptance. And that important one, to love one another. Love one another. Those who we have followed, those who have followed Christ and led us, and we celebrate them. Happy Mother's Day. Amen. I'm going to invite Melba to come lead us. Thine Be the Glory, 308 in the hymnal. If you'd like, it'll be on the screen.
Oh.
man. You guys make a great noise for so, you know, in this small space. We do well. It was in that other hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, mine with 10,000 beside. We are not alone. We are gathered. We may be few this morning in number here, but connected to the world in great numbers. 10,000 beside, worlds beside. And we are those who will follow the Christ and lead others to Christ. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may we be those and faithfully. Amen? Amen. Amen. Several and we just substitute.